Hello, good people. Welcome to this week's broadcast of the Alchemy of Light show. I am Jamil Graham, your host, and welcome. The Alchemy of Light broadcast is dedicated and an exploration and, oh, there's another word that's coming that goes beyond exploration. It's the experience of consciousness and how we take in information and have that epiphany moment that shifts us. And today I am very, very honored to be welcoming a very special young person. Her name is Megan Bell. And she is an extraordinary person, as you will see for yourself. She is the daughter of the late Dr. Fred Bell, who transitioned abruptly in September of 2001. And as we all know, the consciousness of transformation during the grieving period and the things that we find out about ourselves and the world around us is hard to compare. There are very few experiences that are more revealing on multi-dimensions. And today I'm really grateful that Megan is with us. She is going to tell her story in her words, and she has a lot to offer. So welcome, Megan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good, darling. And you?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here on the Alchemy of Light broadcast on bbsradio.com. BBS Radio, as you well know, is a huge supporter, enthusiast, a lot of love for your father here at BBS Radio. And it is a great honor to bring your voice here. And you are the one who is taking the load of carrying the torch of your father's work and the timing of his work in our period of evolution right now it's never been more important. So I want to welcome you and connect the courage that it takes for you to just be there right now with us. And I want to just let you go with what you know you have to share. So when we chatted just a few minutes ago, it was really important that you want to share your experience of what happened. You know, Dr. Fred Bell was well-known, well-respected, and a controversial figure in many circles, and also very committed to his mission. And when he checked out so abruptly, there are many stories floating. And so please do share with us, in your words, what happened.
Well, thank you very much. First of all, thank you for having me. I'm a little bit nervous, and I have a lot to live up to. Obviously, my dad did very regular talk shows with BBS Radio. And so this is my first interview as well. And so I'm a little bit nervous, just to let you know. But there is a lot of things that I do want to talk about. And I've had a lot of response. I've had, first of all, I want to thank everyone for their support to me and my family, and also to Pyridine. I've had some amazing, very heartfelt warning emails, and we really, really appreciate that. And amongst that, a lot of questions as to what really happened on September 25th of last year. And I have to start by saying that the truth is still very, very unclear, as I'm sure many people can imagine. There was a lot of conspiracy and a lot of things going around online that, first of all, weren't true, obviously. But it started when I was actually at the end of the vacation in Miami, and I had a phone call from my sister in England. I have two sisters. One of them lives in England, and one of them lives in Lake Tahoe, Mary and Alana Bell. And my sister Mary had called me from England, and my first thought was, she was very upset, was that it was her son, because her son was born in June of last year with leukemia, and he'd been battling it for around 4 months at that point. And so I thought it was him, and she obviously told me what had happened, and I was extremely shocked and speechless, as I'm sure everyone else was.
Wow.
And I flew back to England that day, and then I'm not sure if obviously everyone knew at the time that he was dating a woman called Mikkel, And I tried to reach out to her, didn't have very much luck. So I flew out to California the following day.
Who is Mikkel?
Found out. Sorry?
Mikkel, who is that?
Mikkel was my dad's last girlfriend that he was with at the time that he passed.
Okay.
And I was trying to contact her to find out what had happened, but she didn't really want to speak to me. So that made it quite difficult. And so I called my sister Alana, and she had spoken to her very briefly, and we had found out that he was obviously recording a TV show in Minneapolis. And he had a heart attack, and he died very quickly. Mm-hmm. And so I took it upon myself, obviously, to travel straight to California. And the day I arrived, I tried to get in contact with Mikkel to go up to my dad's house. No one would answer the phone. No one wanted to talk to me. And I'd never experienced this, obviously, with her before. I kept getting messages with an employee, Rebecca, and also her mother, saying that she's not well today. She doesn't want to speak to you. So we obviously, at this point, knew that my dad was still in Minneapolis. And we had then later found out that he had been left there, and at the time of his death, Mikkel had flown straight back to California.
Huh.
And so we were trying to figure out, obviously, what to do, to fly to Minneapolis or to fly him back. And so it was a very stressful time for all of us, especially not being able to have the support and not being able to go into our own home in California. And so we flew to Minneapolis, and I had to identify him. And especially, we knew that my father's wishes were to be cremated, but due to the speculation on the internet, we figured that obviously it's very important that he was identified. And also we wanted to be able to say goodbye.
Yeah.
However, having spoken to the medical examiner and the hospital had informed us that he was taken by ambulance to hospital alone, and that he died in hospital, and there wasn't anybody that was there. Nobody. And so it came as a great shock to us to later learn out that he had been left in that state, and that his girlfriend had flown back to his property.
Huh.
Now, we took care of him. It was very, very difficult. He was cremated in Minneapolis, and we brought him back to California. And then we held a very private service in Laguna Beach, at one of his favorite spots in Aliso Creek, where he used to hold many seminars.
Hmm.
That's when it really started. We weren't ever able to get into my dad's property. It's kind of difficult to talk about, but he was living with Mikkel. And basically, she moved out of the property and moved, I guess, all of his property out as well. And so we were never able to get in to get, you know, to get anything, any of his documents or anything like that. And so, it's kind of hard to talk about.
That's quite all right. Now, I can, perhaps this is a good time to just share with the listeners that I actually listened to a program here on BBS Radio that Mikkel was on. And her story was that she was with them, or she was with him. They were in their hotel room, and that he collapsed in the bathroom and was dead on the spot. I remember her saying to all the listeners at that time that, according to her story, he actually had been pronounced dead in the bathroom of the hotel room. And now you're saying that that actually is not what happened, that there was a collapse of some sort, but that he later was taken to hospital and died in the hospital alone, is what you're saying.
That's correct. And also, the one time I was able to speak to Mikkel, she had also informed me that he had had a seizure. But it was a very brief conversation, and of course she was distraught, but I couldn't get very much sense from it. And so, having spoken to the hospital, because all of his property then went missing, his wallet, his driver's license, his nuclear receptor, which he had gotten 10 days before, he had just recently had a new one made, solid gold, beautiful diamond piece that he had that's also missing. The people in the ambulance had stated that there was no one in the ambulance there with him, and the people at the hospital let us know that there was nobody there with him. And so it was very difficult for us to hear that, obviously. And so, you know, I guess you can take from that what you want from that. The turn of events which actually occurred are pretty different than what most people have heard.
That's a radically different story than what she did say herself on this radio station. So I cannot testify for that. My experience of that story was not that at all. And I can really empathize with or sympathize with how that must have been extremely upsetting to hear that your father was just kind of caught in this whirlwind and then left on his own like that. And so then it was at that point when all of his belongings began to disappear from the hotel room itself. That's where the first obvious missing of all of his possessions was noted. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I'm obviously live, I do want to reach out to people because I don't know if anyone has any information as to my father's missing property, but if anybody has any information upon anything, it would help us dramatically. I mean, everything, unfortunately, you know, Mikkel had stated that there was never a will, but obviously we couldn't access anything in the property because she wouldn't let us in. She didn't have the right to do this because they were not married, and he actually had no intentions of getting married to her, but that was their business. We used to have a very good relationship, and it's a shame that as soon as my father had passed away, that it disappeared completely, and it is beyond us as to why that happened. But there are a lot of things that are missing that not only belong to the estate, because unfortunately him dying without a will means that everything had to go to probate. And unfortunately, that included Pyridine, along with all of Pyridine's inventory, everything like that. And so me and my sisters, really want to reach out. And if anyone has any information to do with his properties, there's, you know, he was a lover of cars. He had the two missing Corvettes. There's a, you know, there's a Chevy, there's motorbikes, including two very rare Easy Rider bikes, Harley Davidson's, Hondas, all of his music equipment, everything of his personal items is currently missing. It was obviously last seen in her property, but we have no idea where any of it is now.
So the whole house was emptied as well?
Yes, it was.
And this was a large house, I assume.
It was. My dad lived in Laguna Beach for many, many years, up on Arch Beach Heights, in a house that me and all of my sisters were born in. And he had recently, in the last couple of years, moved out to a property in Temecula where he was running the business from the property and had moved everything out to there. And so it was very secluded, and it was in a gated area also that you couldn't have access to. We did try to attempt to make contact several times by driving up there. There were cameras put on the gate and no trespassing signs posted. And obviously, you know, we didn't want to overstep any boundaries or anything, but at the same time, we didn't know what we could and we couldn't do, even though it was, you know, our father's property.
Huh. So as it stands now, the whole estate is in probate, and that has an effect of what you're able to do in maintaining the company. Is that correct? That obviously would be correct. Yes?
Yeah. What I and me and my sisters have done is we have created a brand new company called Spiridine, obviously, LLC. And we're continuing my father's work, continuing all of his products and his books, as well as creating new products and taking the company in a very positive direction that we're extremely excited about. We're currently working on our new website, and it should be hopefully finished in the next week. But we're really, really excited to be continuing his work. And that, to me, is the most important thing that I can gain out of this, is the rewarding feeling, knowing that I can do that.
Well, do you want to shift now to the paradigm vision? And, I mean, it happened so suddenly. I wonder, had you spent time in this preponderance before your father left? And obviously you were affected tremendously by him and his work. And I would just wonder how, is it too fresh yet? You know, it's just been a few months, and obviously the grieving is still in process, and obviously the estate has yet to be resolved. And so there's so many factors yet coming in, but I just wonder is it, what your vision might be for the new paradigm, and how you and your sisters work together as well at this point.
Yeah, I mean, from the very beginning, since obviously everything had happened, we haven't had time to breathe almost. It's been such a whirlwind with everything that's happened. And, you know, even now, every day, I have to pinch myself and realize that this is the reality, because I still can't believe that this has happened. I still can't believe that he's not here and that I'm not ever going to talk to him again. And that's very difficult to deal with. But you have to take the positives from everything that happens in your life. And I feel like my father is very much guiding me and my sisters into the path that we should be going down. And I feel very, very lucky and very privileged to have had him as my father and to be doing what I'm doing now with Paradigm.
Well, share with us a little bit about what of the Paradigm, that was a huge company. Perhaps you can share with us a little bit about what Paradigm was to your father, and how that will flow into the new incarnation, because your father started it some years ago, had quite a lot of experience in many fields focusing on energy. His logo, I believe, is energy, health, or it goes the other way around. Health, science, energy. Perhaps you can introduce to us perhaps you could introduce to us, who was Dr. Fred Bell to the listeners who perhaps never heard of him?
Absolutely. Well, my dad had a very interesting life. He experienced many amazing things that many people would never experience in a lifetime. And those experiences taught him many, many new things and many new technologies. And my dad wanted to help the world and bring awareness to people about what certain things were doing to their bodies that were being produced by man-made, by certain people, by certain structures. And basically, he wanted to bring awareness to exactly what was going on in the world that people were blindsided to and were unaware of, and to create technologies that you could help protect your body from these harmful things that were happening, that are happening. And my dad wrote several books. Three books, actually. One of them, the first one, is The Promise, which was actually written, but as told by him, about the very first encounters that my father had, and just how about everything came to light. Then he moved on to Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light. Oh, actually, I beg your pardon, before that was The Death of Ignorance. that he re-released that one just recently. That was his first book that he had ever written, and he talked about his systems and his products and the technology behind it. Then he released Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light. He then went on to release The Inside Track, and then re-released The Death of Ignorance. And so followed with that is The Nuclear Receptor, which has been around since 1975, a very powerful device which stops EMF and ELF frequencies from affecting your body and works on your chakras. We are currently rewriting a lot of the literature from the previous company, and so people can contact me for further information in regards to that. And then he also had a Pleiadian system, the quad system, the systems one, the bed portamid, which me and my sisters were actually born in, which he used to talk a lot about on his previous radio shows with BBS Radio, actually.
Mm.
And a very, very powerful vitamin and trace mineral products that are amazing. We are still selling those, and we're also reformulating many of his products and also bringing in new products, a new line of health products, including a pyrrolite mineral drink, ionic drink, meal shake, and all kinds of really exciting stuff.
Mm. Are you interested in the science end of this? Where does your passion lie, really, in the work of your father?
My passion lies in continuing his work and continuing him as a legacy. Uh-huh. I'm very interested into the scientific side of it, and I'm learning as I go. I don't know everything that he knew, not even a quarter of the knowledge that he had, but I'm learning. But to me and my sisters, that the most important thing is to continue him and continue his work.
Mm. Well, I want to just offer you that I think that it's always for a reason, of course. You know, there really are no accidents, but even though it might feel like you don't know as much, perhaps the way you can share what he knew will be more effective in the times coming. For example, in his years of controversy, and he was controversial because he worked, you know, for the, quote, bad guys, quote, and then he advocated to help humanity protect themselves from the, quote, bad guys that he was working for. So he had a lot of reasons for people to, you know, kind of get spun around about, well, who is this person? Because he had really amazing information. I mean, in-depth, incredible information, that he was obviously a walking genius. And sometimes a genius doesn't really have the same communication skills and the ability to teach and the ability to share ideas and the ability to network people. It's quite often I've found that our hyper-intelligent people don't have the same social skills, you know, that are also a very important intelligence that needs to happen to communicate these incredible ideas. So perhaps doesn't matter if you have a quarter of the knowledge. If you can share effectively a quarter of the knowledge, you could do a world of good and then some, you know?
Mm-hmm, I agree. I sometimes used to think that my dad needed a translator just because of some of the intense information that, you know, he the type of person that who he was just out there. And if you didn't like who he was, he wasn't really fazed because he knew what he was about and what he was trying to do. And whether people were interested or not was their own problem. Like, if people wanted to help themselves, they needed to pay attention. And if they didn't, that's completely their decision. My dad's knowledge and what he tried to do with speaking and through his books was obviously very intense and quite hard to follow at times, especially when it came to physics and the scientific side of it, because it was so intense. And I myself included had trouble. I'd many times ask him questions about things, and you know, he'd either try and explain to me or say, I'll tell you when you're older, you could understand more. But he was right, I was very young, but I was very inquisitive, very interested, and always wanting to know and wanting to learn more.
Have you read his books then, and sat with all that density of information?
I'm in the process of reading The Death of Ignorance, and I have read The Razor Truth when it first came out when I was a lot younger, but it was very intense, and so it's now my main focus to reread everything, because it's not hard to follow, but it is at the same point as that it's so much information to take in. And that's one reason why we want to rewrite a lot of the literature, not his books, but the information manuals, the receptor manuals, because they are so intense and not everybody can follow them as easily. We also want to create videos of us talking about each product and what they do, and then post them also online on the website so that people can, you know, they can watch and they can understand. I know myself anyway, I understand things a lot better when I'm watching and when I'm listening rather than when I'm reading something. And so we want to make it a lot easier for people to learn things. And by posting his videos, we have a lot of his seminars that we want to be able to post on the website, and that we're also going to have for purchase so that people can learn more about different types of the systems and all kinds of stuff that he used to talk about. We have it all recorded, and so it's very important that we get that out there.
And are you... You're pretty much the one that's taking the lead in this of your sisters, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm actually the youngest out of everyone. But I feel like my sister Alana, who lives in Lake Tahoe, she worked for Paradigm for about 7 years. She's building systems and working very closely with my dad. She has a young son, and she's going to be helping with building systems and in as much as she can in that respect. My other sister, Mary, lives in England, and unfortunately, at the time of my dad's passing, it was about 4 days after his funeral, her son Cameron passed away. He lost his battle with leukemia. And so it was extremely difficult for her at that time to deal with two deaths. And so she's still grieving. She's doing very good, but she's still grieving a lot for both of them. And so I really seem to be the person who wants to take this on and who is right to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you? Would you like to share with us a little bit about what kind of work and things you were pursuing before this all happened?
Well, I was living in England. I'd moved back and forth from America my whole life. My dad used to get very annoyed with me because I'd come out for a couple of months and then I'd be like, I miss my mum, I'm going to go back to England. So I'd go back to England for a while and I'd get bored of England and then I'd come back to America. This was over the course of growing up. I went to school in America, I went to school in England. I was very indecisive, but I was so drawn to always being back here and always being around my dad. And so it was a never-ending battle, I suppose. But at the time, before I was living with my dad in 2009 for about 9 months, and that was when I worked very closely with Pyridine, with assistants, with customers, and really getting to know a lot. And I got very close to my father at that point in regards to from being younger and him not speaking out so much to me to when he did when I was living with him then. And it was amazing. I'm very glad that I had that time with him. And then in 2010, I went back to England and I was actually working for a retail store as assistant manager. And so it was like a high-end fashion store. So completely on the other scale of things.
Interesting.
It wasn't obviously something that I wanted to do for long term. I always pictured myself coming back here and, helping my dad.
Well, retail is a really good training ground for learning to work with the public and as assistant manager, learning how systems work and how they don't work and all of the logistical pieces that need to happen, you know, to make things work and what can work better. So that's a really good place to learn a lot. And there's nothing that replaces that experience with people. Just, you know, it's really a gift to work with people. That is just really special, especially at this time, you know, in our time as a human species, you know, and all the transformation that we're undergoing. One of his books was focused on just that. And I wonder if you can speak about that, Rays of Truth, the Crystals of Light, its info and information and guide for the Golden Age. And the Golden Age is the term that a lot of people use for the outcome of this travail we're enduring, or we have endured, depending on your perspective. But there is a strong belief, a strong grassroots knowing that the human species is about to become who it's supposed to be, that we're to regain our dignity now and to become the light, the love lights that we are, and actually harmonize with our environment rather than the environment of war that we have created within ourselves and also in our environment. And I wonder if you've had any reflection about that and how that ties into his work, because it seems like that really was at the heart of what he was trying to tell us.
Yeah, I mean, Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light is probably, well, they're all amazing books, but one of the best books that he wrote. I mean, he uncovers all kinds of things in there, secrets of longevity, health, and, you know, successful living, and what's really bad for your body and what's really happening around us. You know, energy, and my dad has a quote called, it's energy follows thought. And since my father's passed away, I have to say that nothing has been truer than that. Thinking about something happening or projecting your energy into it and then it happening, or, for example, thinking, okay, I need to do this, I need to do this, and I need to do this. You have your list of things that you know you're prioritizing, you need to get done. And then forgetting about them, and then thinking, oh God, I really needed to get that done. And then 2 seconds later, the phone rings and it's exactly the solution to what you were about to do. Or that thing happening right at that point. Now, since I've taken over Pyridyne, since I've created the new Pyridyne, Pyridyne LLC, and I've been getting the business back together and focusing on everything that I need to get done and just putting one foot in front of the other and taking each day as it comes. As soon as I think, I haven't done this, I haven't done it, happens, then it happens, then and everything just kind of fell into place the way it was supposed to. And everyone around me has experienced the same thing by saying to me about that quote, like, it couldn't be more true. If you think something, think it and it will happen, and it does. It's amazing the power of your mind. If you set yourself to think, this is going to happen, I want this to happen, and you meditate on it or you think about it, it happens. And I've never found it to be more true until recently, when I've really focused on it. And so that's one thing that he helps people to understand, the way color affects your body, the way stones affect your body, crystals, all the healing properties that they have in them and just how amazing they are and how they really work. The 7 subplanes of human reality, chakras, energy observation, color therapy, just how everything works. He also talks a lot about time travel, Pleiadian technologies. It's very, very intense, very, very interesting, and very true. And I recommend that everyone reads it, because I haven't heard from one person who has said that it hasn't changed their perspective or their thoughts or the way they live or the way they think about things. Because because it is so powerful and so powerful to your mind as well.
I can appreciate that. And the even just reading and listening to information, that's consciousness. That's how we affect our consciousness. And things happen multidimensionally more than we even realize. And your father also wrote a book. He had a quite developed relationships with the Andromedan race. Is that's true as well? He wrote a book about that. Would you like to speak about that? Did that involve you and your family at all?
The what, sorry, in the promise?
Yeah, well, yes, the relationship he had with the Andromedans.
That didn't involve us directly. That happened a long time ago before we were born. But my dad used to keep us very much not out of the way from things, because he always tried to involve us and speak to me. But the thing is that we were so very young. When we lived in England, so we'd come over. We had an arrangement with, you know, our mum and our dad, and we'd come over 2 months every summer and every other Christmas. And so we were always younger and growing up and being around it and experiencing it, but not from the point of view so much from, he was always working. My dad was so dedicated to what he did that even when we were in town, sometimes, you know, we'd be there listening to everything that was going on and absorbing it from a really, really early age. And so we've always known, but it's not something that we ever, how to get this out right, not something that we had ever doubted, but it just was always a way of life to us almost. And so he would take us on a sunset cruise. Every day, he'd take us out in the Corvette. Me and my sister used to have to share a seat. We'd have to sit on each other's laps. And he'd take out his camera, and we'd go, and he'd take pictures of sunset. And there were many occasions when he used to point up to the sky. And at the time, we were very young, and so we were kind of unsure as to what we were looking at. But, you know, we were just kids. So I can remember specific occasions when he'd point up, and there would be something in the sky that was a silver disc or some kind of a light object. And he'd photograph it, and then we'd carry on driving, and then he'd point out something else, and he'd photograph it. But to us, it was never really, like, unusual, I suppose, because, you know, we grew up around it. And he used to have all kinds of experiences at the house in Laguna, and he'd take pictures of them and he'd film them, and I mean they were amazing. But we don't have hardly any of this, which is the frustrating thing about it, is that because we weren't able to get hold of any of this property and everything like that, it's beyond frustrating. All the memories and everything like that.
Those are some of the things that were in the house?
Yeah.
That were taken?
Albums, yeah.
The photo albums were taken? Wow, Megan.
Oh, that's really tough. That's really tough. So the house was emptied, literally emptied. And, you know, I know we don't want to be inappropriately speaking, but was there ever any continuing conversation with Mikkel about any of this, or did she just drop out? Because that seems awfully extreme.
No, it went to It went to the lawyers. The lawyers were dealing with it, and she was questioned about many things, and the answers were, "He gave that to me. He gave that to me. He gave that to me." So it were, for some reason, the justice system in California works in a very strange way. And, you know, maybe it happens all the time. I have no idea. But until it happens to you, you really don't know how it feels for it to be so bad, and for them to really not care so much about you. And unless you have the proof and the evidence, they're not really interested, you know. As I'm sure many people know, the way probate works, it doesn't work in anyone's favour ever. And it's extremely unfair to me and to my sisters that we can't have the things that we grew up with.
Wow.
It is a struggle, but I don't think about it. I don't think about it anymore because for me, there is as sentimental as a lot of the items were, it is just items, you know, that you can't take them anywhere. It's just stuff.
Right. Absolutely.
And that's the way it's always going to be. You can't take it with you. Mm. And it's just material things that I know to me don't mean anything at all. And so, you know, for me it's just rewarding enough doing what I'm doing. And that's what makes me happy.
Well, bless your heart. You are strong. You are strong. I mean, you are right, and you were rather forced to the bottom line right away. But when my mom crossed, suddenly her things had a totally new importance. And I needed time with them to, you know, reconnect with the whole story that we shared. And then over time was able to breathe and go, yep, okay, I'm done with that. Yep, okay, I'm done with that. And yeah, okay, I'm done with that. And because that's so fresh in my memory, just 3 years out and just now releasing this stuff, now I can appreciate it. And then the volume wasn't even close to what you're talking about, but the sentiment is, the bottom line is that, you know, you can't take it with you. And the love in your heart, the love that you share, that's eternal. That will never go away. And here we are playing human, you know, we're down here making the world a better place in the human experience, ultimately. I mean, that's what most people are here doing. And so you hit the bottom line, but you have a lot of courage, my dear. You have a lot of courage.
Thank you, but I have to say that it's been the biggest life lesson. You know, when you lose a parent, it's not something that you ever get over, as I'm sure you know. It's just something that you learn to deal with. It comes in waves. And to me, it's changed. The experiences that I've been through in the last 9 months have changed me in such a way that I would never be the same again. I never look at life the same again. But I take from it the most positive things possible, and I'm such a better person because of it. And I feel like my dad has taught me so much just in his passing, in myself. And the one thing I really admired about my dad was his self-contentment that he had and the confidence that he had, and that he didn't ever care what anybody thought. He was above it. And he could sit in his office for hours, and he loved it, with his little parrot, Buddy Boo. And he'd be in his own company, and he'd be in his own world, and he would be so happy. And I was always envious of that of him, because he didn't need anything or anyone around him. He was so self-content. And that was the biggest thing I admired in him. He was always happy, always happy. And I've never met anyone in my life who is always happy. It just doesn't happen, you know?
Wow.
And so I'm taking that away with me, and I'm becoming that. And it's amazing. It really is.
Well, would you like to share with us some ways that you are experiencing him with you now, around you now? You know, we experience loss. Surely, the death of a body is a loss, and the soul is eternal. You know, so on another dimension, the whole concept of death is grossly misrepresented and hardly understood in our current dictionaries and understanding. But the truth is that the soul is eternal, and your father, Dr. Fred Bell, and the light being that he is ever present and is probably more alive than he ever was.
I completely agree with you there. As most people know, my dad was an extreme extremely intense person. And now that he's passed over, possibly even more so than he was when he was here. Because when he first passed, I didn't experience him around me at all. And that kind of worried me a lot. But I was still in England and traveling back and forth continuously. And it wasn't until I actually moved back here in February of this year to Arizona, and I live with some very close friends of my father's who are helping me with everything. They're such amazing people. That I really experienced it for myself. And it was around the time of my father's service that they decided to share with me some of the experiences that were going on in their house. And my dad was a bit of a prankster. And so he liked to play games a lot. That was a lot of fun to him. He was just a big kid. And so he started playing games in their house. And for me to hear about everything, I was kind of a little bit like, well, are you sure? You know? Because I hadn't personally had any experiences myself. Now, they've lived in this house 7 years, and they never had any experiences until he passed away. So the first experience was the kitchen faucet coming on and off constantly. So it would go on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off. And they would stand and watch it and be amazed by it. And now they told me about this, and I thought, are you sure you don't have anything wrong with your kitchen tap? No, are you sure? And they weren't very, to my knowledge, they're spiritual people, but they weren't overly. So it was kind of a shock to hear this. And they were like, yeah, you'll see. I came to stay with them at Christmas for a couple of weeks. And they said, you wait for it. And I thought, I was terrified. I didn't want it to happen when I was around because I was really afraid. And believe it or not, it didn't happen. The 2 weeks that I stayed here, nothing happened until the last day. And at the time, I had an argument with my boyfriend. He wasn't being very nice. And I was sat at the bottom of the stairs, and the house was very open plan, and I was crying, and I was very, very upset. Mm. And all of a sudden, on comes the kitchen tap, really loud, full blast. And everyone starts laughing. They come down the stairs. One of their friends was sat in the lounge, and he was like, oh, my God. So he got up and went and turned it off. He was like, what is going on? He turned it off. It came back on again. Only one time, I immediately felt him. I knew it was him. And they switched it off. It didn't happen again after that. But it cheered me up and completely reassured me that he was there. And that made me instantly feel better. And I didn't doubt for a second that it wasn't him. And then I moved out here, and it started happening on a regular basis. We'd be talking about him. He'd come up in conversation. We'd be talking about ideas, products, things that we want to happen with Pyridine, things we don't want to happen on come the tap. It was his response and his way of telling us what he wants to happen and what he doesn't want to happen. Then it starts with the TVs and any electronic equipment that he can get his hands on. So it's the volume of the TVs going up to full blast, going back down again, going off again, changing the channel. Moving objects around. Now, I had a bit of a fear. I don't mind saying this, but I had a bit of a fear of the dark, especially after my father passed away. So I'd always sleep with my light on. And I'd always make sure that I'd turn it on if we were going out of an evening, so that when I came back, it was on and I didn't have to come upstairs in the dark. Yeah. And one time we forgot, and I said, I just have to run and turn my light on. Ran back in, turned the light on, and we left and came back. I looked upstairs and my light was off, and I knew that it was him because he'd done it several times before. And he kind of slowly made me get over my fear. And so now, very thankfully, I can sleep in the dark again. But his presence has been very much around. And the kitchen sink, we couldn't quite work out why it was the kitchen sink. And then suddenly it clicked. And my dad had a huge fascination with water and cleanliness, and whenever he was in the kitchen, he was always running the kitchen sink, whether he was putting his hands in it or not. He just had the kitchen sink running constantly, because I didn't even know why. So sometimes I'd have to go in the kitchen and turn it off because you'd forget to turn it off himself. And as soon as we remembered, when we were kids, he used to sit up in the sink when we were babies and run the tap, like, down the back of our diaper and all kinds of strange things like that. But he you know, he used to sit us in the sink. He had all kinds of strange fascinations with water. And when it suddenly clicked, we thought, well, why didn't we think of this earlier? You know, it's maybe his way of trying to communicate with us. But we've had very many, many amusing moments over that since he's passed.
Wow, what a rascal.
He sure is. And it makes, you know, it makes his friend John laugh so much every time, because the amount of trouble that they used to get into together, they were just like big kids.
Oh.
And so my dad still is, and he doesn't take things too seriously. He never has done, and that's a very good philosophy, I believe, you know?
I do too, especially, you know, in times of great change, the more open and relaxed and playful we can be, it's kind of a choice, you know. We can play with the changes and play with the energies and things that are coming our way, or, you know, if we rigidify, then that's a choice too. But it's just a lot. I find that is a better philosophy for me as well, because the more open that I am, the more able I am to flow and flow into new ideas. And I feel a lot more at peace ultimately, and I catch more opportunities and more ideas as they're coming through. And, you know, that is, I think, a sign of personal contentedness too, when you can really play, you know, really play. That I think is one of those measures of peace inside somehow.
I agree, and I know that my dad wants us to take that with us and remember that you can't take everything so seriously. You know, you have bad days, you have good days, but you have to remember to laugh and enjoy life and be yourself, because the biggest lesson is that life is short and you really don't know how long you have or how long you don't have. You have to value everyone that's in your life and appreciate everyone and everything that you have around you. Never take anything for granted, because you don't have that right to. And so, yeah, I feel like he's teaching me a lot, but be playful, have fun, and don't be afraid of things. And so he's helped me get over a lot of fears.
Wow. Yes, and how old was he when he left? When he left his body, because he's still with us. So when he left his body, how old was he?
He was 68 years old.
68.
His birthday was on the 10th of August. So he had just turned 68.
And so maybe he knew, but maybe he didn't. But, you know, he basically walked his talk to the end, because you don't know. And, you know, may as well have a good time.
I have a thought upon this. And that you don't know when anyone's time is up. And I felt like my dad was going down this path in his life that wasn't necessarily the most healthiest for him. And he had gone so far down this path that he couldn't turn it around himself. And sometimes things happen, well, everything happens for a reason. Everything does.
Right.
And I know that my dad sees things very differently now than when he was here.
Well, that is such a gift to be able to see that. And, you know, the best is yet to come. I would just offer that as a possibility, that the more open, the more receptive we are to the reality, the absolute reality, that the soul lives on and never leaves us, ever, then the more open we can be to developing a new relationship with our same friend in a new form. Do you know?
Yeah, I completely agree with you there, if not a closer relationship than before.
Absolutely, and it can be so much better. It can be just more fun.
Yep.
And more challenging and all that good stuff. So, wow,
Wow, Megan, bless your heart. So he was filming with Jesse Ventura, who was doing, he does a television program about conspiracy theories, and I don't watch television, so I am not up on his show, and what blurbs I've seen of his don't impress me, to be honest. He's a little more macho than my taste allows me to enjoy. But anyway, he does his thing, and God bless him, and all that good stuff. But he happened to be doing a filming with Jesse Ventura literally just before he had this incident in the hotel room, and then was taken to the hospital, and then transitioned from the hospital. So whatever happened to this filming that he did with Jesse Ventura, did it ever air? Or
that is a question that I would love to know the answer to. We tried to reach out to Jesse Ventura and anyone of that TV production to find out just exactly where that recording was or is, because it obviously never aired for whatever reason. I have no idea what was said during the interview. My dad was very controversial always. He always tested things. He always pushed things to the limit constantly. In any TV interview or any radio interview or at any point that he was able to do that, he would do that. So it's absolutely no surprise whatsoever that he did this during the interview, because that was just who he was. But in regards to what's happened to the footage, I would love to know the answer to that. If anybody can shed some light, then that would be amazing, because I would, for one, really, really, really be interested in watching it, the very last moments that we have of him.
Wow. So it never was aired, and it's never been released to you, and it remains a mystery except for the few in the inner circle that basically aren't talking. Is that correct?
That would be correct, yeah.
Wow. Well, this is really interesting. This is just the beginning, too, Megan. Are you ready?
I am more than ready. I am more than ready.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Well, we're coming up on the hour, and I want to find out how we can be of service to you at this time in your process. With, you obviously are in a limbo state, in that the entire state is in probate, and it has limited your ability to pick up Paradigm and run with it the way you'd like to, but it's offering you a great opportunity to reflect and really visit ideas, and it has its upside because it's giving you, it's, you know, making sure that you think about these things. And then the situation about the truth really wanting to be clarified about what happened those last moments is really important, as well as any help we might be able to offer you for locating the entire household of personal belongings that were not just his, but things of your entire family in the whole house that disappeared. And also,
yeah, there's one thing I do want to just mention real quick, actually. One of my clients was looking for items on eBay and came across a person who is located in Laguna Beach who had specified to him that he had helped liquidate the estate and that he was able to get more items. And so I'm really interested to find out just who that person is. Obviously, that's completely illegal because nobody owns the property of the estate other than the probate court. Also, where they were getting their items from. We do have some details of them, but obviously we do have to pass everything that we manage to find onto the police just because it is a legal matter. But the fact that this person so openly said what they were doing was kind of a bit of a shock, which makes me think that, you know, there are people out there who may have sold and been selling his property for a long time now. I mean, I don't know. But if anybody can help on the matter, it would mean everything to us. And if anybody has any questions or wants to contact me, they can contact me and via megan@pyridine.com or pyridine@hotmail.com is our email also. I mean, anything at all would be of great value. You know, any information, I really would like to reach out to people about that. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, and so the contact information to reach Megan is megan@pyridine.com, and that's spelled Megan, M-E-G-A-N, at P-A-R-A-D-Y-N-E.com, megan@pyridine.com.
It's P-Y-R-A-D-Y-N-E.
Thank you. For some reason, my brain
that's
just
okay.
Is
that's okay. That's okay. Yeah, and our website's currently under construction. Still, we did change it once, but it really isn't how we wanted it to be. So we are changing it again. Last time we promised, and it's going to be a great website. So you can follow us on Facebook as well with our progress. It's just you know, www.facebook.com/pyridine, or you can check via the website pyridine.com regularly.
Okay. That is fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Alchemy of Light broadcast. And I, my whole heart and condolences and a
Thank
really
you.
Good.
Thank you for having me.
Yay. And a good feeling for you, Megan. So keep up the good work there.
Thank you.
All right. A pleasure. I hope you have a lovely evening.
Thank you. And you.
Thank you. All right, then thank you to all the listeners for joining us. And take good care of yourselves and take good care of each other. Until next time, and this is Jamil Graham signing off the Alchemy of Light broadcast. Bye-bye.